The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the sun. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
Did you think your career was over?
Yeah, I thought it was over.
I'm in Denver right now. I'm excited for this opportunity that I got. You know, whatever happens is going to happen. For Joe Brady's growth, that organization, they'll have to like just practice different things. Like one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2 minute really. We didn't practice red zone, you know, so.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just go visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. So make sure you subscribe and turn on your alerts so you can get the show ASAP. Get it right away. Pat P, it's a big time opportunity to have another big time show. Yep. And what are we going to cover on this episode?
Man, it's time to welcome another signal caller and a South Florida guy. You know, we chat with someone that has been through a lot. You know, one of the most respected guys in the league.
No question.
Guy that rode 75 miles on his bike from Miami to Palm Beach.
I'm not doing that.
I think it was like about around 5 hours, something like that.
But I'm not doing that.
You don't need no further introduction. Our guy, Teddy B.
Teddy B. Yo, listeners, viewers, following the show, you know what time it is. First quarter is where we chop it up. Chopping it up. And in this chopping it up segment, we're going to talk about addressing off-season workouts. So if you guys have been living under a rock and not really paying attention to what's been happening in the NFL world, Juwan James tears his Achilles. He tore his Achilles working out away from the facility. So the league sent a memo reminding teams to encourage their players to work out at team facilities using James by name. So basically they're saying, Pat P, and I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the story. I'm just filling in our listeners and our viewers. Because Juwan James was injured working away from the facility, he's the current starter for the Denver Broncos offensive tackle is his position. Because he got injured working away from the facility, there's a good chance he might not get paid this season. And I think his salary for this year was $10 million. Mm. So they're basically saying they pretty much could void that salary. So the NFLPA wrote in an email, it was gutless to use a player's serious injury as a scare tactic to get you to come running back to those workouts. This memo is another sign of what they think of you and also affirms that they simply want to control you year-round in any and every way that they can. Like I said, Juwan James, he suffered Achilles injury during his off-site workout. Broncos have options under new CBA. They could decide to pay or not pay James. He's owed $9.85 million exactly guaranteed in 2021 salary. The team could seek to recover $3 million $3 million signing bonus. Team could choose to pay or not pay for surgery and rehab.
Wow.
He opted out last year because of COVID. So the players union is clearly pushing for the team to pay James. So get this. They could decide to not pay his $9.85 million and not pay for his surgery and his rehab. Pat P, hearing that, current Minnesota Vikings, how you feeling?
Man, I think that's bizarre, man, because that injury can happen anywhere, anytime. Yeah, granted, it's from away from the facility. But at the same time, we're off of football from the first week of January, and we have to be back in April. That's three and a half months. Guys, I understand football is definitely our job, you know, and most guys understand what it takes to be in shape. And obviously be prepared for a season, because think about the guys who's coming in, they're working out year-round. Guys who's in the league, the guys who's going to be in the league for a long time, they're working out. So you're telling me during that 3 months and a half, you don't want us to work out at all and only work back out at the team facility? That don't make any sense, because that injury can happen any given time doing anything. You know, he could have been walking down the steps and he could have tore his Achilles. You know, he was just doing something that was going to help him be prepared for the season. And he got
hurt. They said, Pat P, they said he was actually doing drills that his coaches.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was doing something to get him prepared for the season. You know, that those type of things happen. It's a freak accident. And I don't think you should penalize a guy for doing something that he loved, making sure that he's prepared for the season. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the team gave us options to come up there after May 17th. So what's the issue?
And to piggyback on what you're saying,
you can't even work out right now with the team anyway.
If Juwan James was playing basketball, playing volleyball, riding a bike,
right, doing I can see that.
Now, if you feel some type of way, he's out playing basketball or playing flag football or you know, that's right, whatever.
He's out there doing football drills
to get better.
Exactly,
to get better.
He is being a pro.
But let me throw something out to you, Pat Pete. And for our listeners and our viewers checking us out, we're talking about Juwan James, how the NFL is basically saying it's up to the team to pay his salary this upcoming season because he's on IR. He has a season-ending Achilles injury. And it's up to the team to pay for his surgery and his rehab. But let me throw this out to you, Pat Pete. So this past weekend, DK ran a 100-meter race.
Yeah.
And if you follow the NFL social media page, Twitter they page to be exact, they congratulated him.
Yeah,
and they basically in a celebratory fashion, they were like celebrating the accomplishment of running a race against Olympic runners.
Right.
Now, the question I have for you, Pat P, for the people that are watching and listening to us, that's doing something off site, right?
Right. So
if you're congratulating DK for doing something that many NFL players would never think to do and competing, why are you condemning Juwan for working out?
Right.
DK ran a race, right? Didn't get hurt, but he ran a race. You congratulating him. Juwan was working out, trying to get better for the upcoming season and tore his Achilles, but now he's being condemned. And basically, it's up to the team to pay for the surgery, rehab, and pay for his salary. I don't understand it. So where's the field goal is moving for some players or for some situations compared to what's going on with Juwan James? What do you think about that, hearing how they congratulated DK? And we were always happy that he went out.
No doubt about it. Definitely happy. But, happy that he went out there and what it was, a 10-3-6?
Oh.
Something crazy like that?
Oh, you know the time.
Yeah, it's the 10-3-6 or something like 10-3-8, 10-3-6. Was that in the question? Was that has Pat heard? X that out, Matt. Go ahead and X that out, man.
I'm going to give you your point. You got an early point already. God,
early
you can point. Today. Yeah, you got an early point. You got one already.
But I think it's a little bogus, though, to, like you said, to be congratulating, you know, DK doing something away from football. You know what I mean? So, granted, you know.
Away from the facility.
Yeah, away from the facility. So, if he was, you know, God forbid that he didn't, and I don't know if he's going to continue. I don't know what happened, what place he came in and all that stuff. And if he's, you know, going on to the next round or whatever, but if he pulled his hamstring, you know, like I said, God forbid, cause you know, that's what track runners do. If he pulled his hamstring, would you have that same compassion, you know, or have that same kickback if he did that?
Yes, you know? Exactly. That's something we won't know, but
right.
I mean, Juwan, they celebrated.
Juwan was doing something that was going to make him better. And I think the lead, this is the opportunity to show that you care about your players. Because I think if you're putting it into the owner's hands to pay or not play a player, they're going to probably say, I'm not going to play him. Very highly, they're going to say, yep, he's on IR. He opted out last year. That's another, you know what I mean? So they're already looking at that. So why should we pay him? You know, he's not on the team no more. So I think the NFL got to do a better job of protecting the players. You know, obviously the NFLPA is doing that, but the NFL has to do a better job of having the players' backs as well, because I don't think that's right, man.
I agree with you. Let us know how you feel. Give us your take on social media. Leave us a 5-star rating with your statement attached to it about this Juwan James situation. You know, should the team pay his salary or should they continue to stand firm like they're doing and not knowing if they will pay this salary, but also pay for the surgery?
Not pay for the surgery, bro.
The surgery and the rehab? Dang. That's tough.
That's
right there is tough, bro.
No doubt about it.
That right there is tough. That's cold blood if they don't pay for the surgery and the rehab. But
I mean, he's still an NFL player. Ain't like he.
And also too, we got to make sure we emphasize that the Broncos haven't made a decision yet. We just giving you their options.
Right. And at the same time, he's still an NFL player, and he's still on an NFL team.
No question.
So why would he have to go out and pay for his own surgery, or the team can opt out from paying his surgery?
Yes, that's bogus. That's bogus. All right. We're going to monitor this story and see exactly what happens. But Denver, do the right thing. We got Teddy Bridgewater coming on the show. He plays with the Broncos. He does the right thing. Come on, Broncos. Do the right thing for Mr. Dane. Now it's time.
Get him to the punch.
Yeah. Your favorite part of the show, my favorite part of the show, has Pat Hurd. Pat Hurd is a part of the show we decided to implement if you're new to this show, because during the offseason, Pat is not understanding or paying attention to what is going on in sports. He's traveling. He's on a golf course. He's getting ice cream with his babies. So he's not really listening or paying attention to television or anything like that. So he's kind of out of whack of what's going on in the sporting world. So we wanted to see exactly how much out of whack he is. So we decided to add has Pat Hurd. His overall record, he's gotten 27 right out of 42. That percentage is 64%. So he's well above 50%. So if he's a quarterback right now, he's completing, you know, more than half of his passes. Last week, Pat P, you were 3 of 4. You got 3 right out of 4 questions. So far, Pat has already jumped out and got one right already. The DK Metcalf run. You want to know? Hey, Pat, if you were to run the 100, not right now, but let's say when you was probably still year 2, year 3 in the league, if you were to run the 100, train for the 100, what time do you think you could clock?
Man, that 100 tough, yo.
You used to run the 100 in high school, right?
Yeah, I should say my best time in high school, I want to say like a 10-9, somewhere in there. And, you know, that's in high school, that's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But that 100 yard, that 200 is even worse. But that 100 yard around that 75 meter, hey, you're going to start putting that head back versus keeping it.
You're going to look like Buddha.
Man, speaking of running track, I'll never forget, man, Shoelace, Denard Robinson, man, we're in a state championship. We got us about – it's Deerfield, it's Ely, Dillard, B.A., Piper, and I can't remember the other two teams that was in there, but – and we always ran a fast time. Like, we was a fast high school. I think we ran, like sub-43s, so we was fast. So we had Steve. Steve was our first leg. I cannot think of who our second leg or our third leg, but I was the anchor. So we got us like a nice little 7 meter lead coming into the curb, giving me the baton. Boom, got that thing. I'm out there, Mac. I'm leader of the pack, and you already know once you start hearing that.
What lane you were in?
I can't remember, but I think I had to be in the fourth or the fifth.
Oh, you were good.
I think I was in the fourth lane, if I'm not mistaken. Shoelace was in the fifth lane because he ended up on my right side finish. It came down to a photo finish, Matt. So anyway, getting down to the last 75, like I just talked about, last 75, 80 meters. Man, I hear the whoop. So now you know you got to dig.
He coming.
I say, oh man, where he at, man? Where he at?
So now he coming.
Yeah. So now I'm digging. I got the photo picture and everything, Matt. Put that head back. Now I see him at the corner of my eye. He literally won by his, because he had dreads. He literally won by like one of his dreads, bro, off a photo finish in the 2008 state finals, 4A through 6A.
Well, Robinson was fast.
Yeah, he was, man. But that 100, I don't know, Mac. No, that, like I said, if I was able to train for it, I'd be respectively, you know, I'd probably run somewhere around like a 10-7, 10-6. You know what I mean? I don't want to get myself too high and go out there and run a 10-8. Or something like that, you know what I mean? But, you know, if I had to really work on it, those are probably the numbers I'd be satisfied with.
Okay. All right. So you already got one question right, has Pat Hurd. Second question for you. Your new teammate, Adam Thielen, what stadium did Adam both compliment and criticize recently?
Lambeau.
Oh. Whoa. Okay. And, oh, you got that one right. So a little background on that story with Adam Thielen. He commented, it was on Golf Subpar Podcast, said the whole stadium is not nice. There's nothing fancy about it. It has bleacher seats. But he did call it his favorite place to play and said there's nothing better than beating the Packers in Lambeau Field. What's your favorite stadium? All the stadiums you played in, right? College, professionally, What's your favorite college hand, player?
College hands down, Death Valley. Can't nothing
even come. LSU.
Man, gotcha. I can't front, man. That place crazy. But in the league, it's Seattle. Man, I love Seattle. Seattle, man, because they DJ be rolling. They fans be rolling. The atmosphere is always crazy. You're going to get a little mist. It's going to be a little cold. And like I said, when we play them, you know, 9 times out of 10, the game comes down to the last drive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's nothing like Adam says, nothing like beating Seattle in Seattle. You know what I mean? Especially, you know, I'll never forget that time, man. They beat us 52-0, Mac, right? It was like 4 minutes left in the ball game. And I can't remember. I think that was Russ' rookie year, if I'm not mistaken. It was 2013, Ken Whisenhunt last year. Maybe it could have been 12.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's late in the season. Maybe it was early in the season. I think it was early in the season. They substitute Matt Flynn in. Guess what play they run first? First play. They're already up. Man, they ran a play action go on us, Mac.
Hey, you think of y'all getting beat so bad, they going to run the ball and get the clock out.
Man, we was like, whoa. Like, it's the game over. Let's put the kids to sleep, man. Go ahead and run this football. Let us get on back to
play action. Hey, I know the entire secondary bit on the play action.
Man. No, actually, because I think we was in man. I think we was in man at that point because me and Richard Marshall was the corners. And I think they threw it like up the seam or something like that. And they incompleted the ball. But the fact that they ran
a play action. Being up that
margin. It was all go too, Mac. It wasn't like no seam go, no stop outside. It was all go.
He was trying to take a shot.
I was like, my goodness. So when BA came, he kind of like put it in our heads like they beat y'all 52-0 and threw a go ball on y'all with 4 minutes ago. It was like, how y'all feel about that? For the guys that was on this team last year, how do y'all feel about that? And from that point, I think we only lost there once when BA was our head coach. And then ever since beating them guys there is always a good feeling. I don't care what our record is. We can go up there and win. Hey, we living it.
so let's go back to LSU, because I know you had some crazy games there, but what was the best game fan-wise? Like loud, just...
Oh, Florida, man. Florida 2009, when Tim Tebow came off the concussion against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It was a close game. They beat us 14-7, if I'm not mistaken. But... Man, when I say that stadium was so loud, Mac, I literally, you know how you see like a TV screen like blurring, like shaking?
Yeah.
That's how the field was shaking while we was on the field preparing for a game, because he had just came off the concussion, and then it was like he ain't practiced all week, so we need to be loud as possible. You know how it is getting ready for the big game. We need to be loud as possible. This because we had an earthquake game like in the 80s or something like that where the stadium actually shook.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, we got to make this like the earthquake game. You know, we got to make it tough for him, this, that, another. And, Mac, when I say that job was rumbling, boy, oh, my goodness. But the loudest I probably heard the stadium erupt, though, when I felt like I was like the god, like the king on campus, was against West Virginia when I hit that pose.
That punt return. Hey, you was a made man when you walked to camps the next day.
No doubt about it, because like after that, because I already, like, I think that was like the fourth game of the season. And mind you, I'm already like second in FBS and punt returns and punt return yardage. I just broke the SEC. Well, not, I think I broke the SEC record. I was 9 yards short of the SEC record. First game out with like 280 something yard return yards. And after that game, it was like I started getting like the Heisman pub. Like, you know, it started becoming like big for me. So, you know, I think that game I didn't have a pick that game, but I had a couple of PBUs too. But I think that definitely put a nice buzz around my name at that time. And from that game on, I probably got, man, like 3 clean punt returns. It was like I wasn't getting no more punt returns.
They weren't kicking at sea.
No more punt returns, man.
No question. Next question for you. So far, Pat P, man, if you get all of them right, we might have to retire this segment of the show.
We
might have to retire.
Yeah, that's why.
Next question for you. You got 2 more. Let's see if you can get both of them.
Talk
right.
to me.
What number will former guest of All Things Covered, J.C. Horn, wear for the Carolina Panthers this season?
Number 8.
Wow. Thanks.
I just saw him post that, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And why is he wearing number 8? You know why?
That I don't know. I did see the captions, but I saw he posted that maybe like 3 hours ago.
He's honoring Kobe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mamba.
Yeah.
Mamba mentality. I like that.
No question. Okay. Last one for you. Malcolm Butler will wear what number for Arizona?
Man, I ain't gonna say he's trying to be me. But he rocking 21.
He
rocked 21 everywhere he's been.
Everywhere you've been. But
I know it's in good hands, man. He's gonna go out there and get some picks, you know what I mean? Do his thing, represent the number very well. What?
I can tell you this much though, Pat P. A lot of Cardinal fans felt some type of way.
Oh yeah, what they say, man.
Man,
you know, I ain't been saying that. What they say?
Man, they didn't like it. I guess for them it's too soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's too soon to have that number in the secondary already, but they didn't like it. So they backing you, even though you're a Viking now.
Yeah.
They feel some type of way.
Man, that's love, man. I appreciate Arizona, the fan base for looking at me in that manner. But I will say this. Never mind, I won't say that.
Okay. I'll say what you don't want to say.
What you gonna say? What else gonna say?
Some BS. That's what it is. That's what it is. Come on, man. This man gonna be in the Ring of Honor. He ain't even like, what we doing?
Yeah, all decades too. Last time I checked.
Future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, man. They got some, man, I ain't gonna say it, man. I can't say it, man.
I'ma say what you don't want to say. It's BS. You feel me?
It is. But I want to say something else, but I ain't even gonna dive in this conversation.
Hey, well, don't worry. You get a chance to tell them how you get a chance to show them how you feel. Schedule coming out tonight.
Tonight?
Well, but when this air, it will come out.
Oh, man. I got excited, man. That's awesome. Hey, that's freaking awesome.
But I can tell you this much, Pat P. I got my brim on. I tip it to you. You got every one of them right. Every question right in our hat. So this is what we're gonna do. We gotta go to the committee. You see, should we retire this segment, this part of this show?
What I think y'all should do is let the committee come up with questions.
Or let the fans.
That's what I'm saying. Let the fans come up with questions. Fans. Send it in, and then we go there. Because it can be about anything. It don't have to be about sports.
Ooh, you ready for that?
I'm not, but it's going to be funny. You know what I mean? It's going to be dope. So they're going to get me more up on game. You know what I mean?
No doubt. All right.
So let's keep past Pat Hurd, and let's let the fans put in some questions, and we'll take the top four.
Well, we just got one from a fan just now.
Uh-oh.
Who is Jennifer Lopez dating right now?
Ben Affleck.
Dang. What the
fuck? Yeah.
Okay.
Coming fast. Yeah. And she used to date Ben Affleck back in the day, and they just decided to rekindle, man.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
J-Lo.
Hey, that boy on fire, man.
Ben Affleck?
Somebody cool me down.
You on fire like Ben is right now.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to have to see what we're going to do. We're going to go to the committee.
I like it, man. I think we should keep it going, though.
Okay.
I think we should keep it going.
All right. We're going to keep it going then. But next week, we're going to have some tough questions for you, Pat P.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm with it.
We're getting close to halftime. So make sure you guys stay with us, because once we are out of the locker room, we come out of the locker room from halftime, we'll be joined by Teddy Bridgewater. All your Louisville Cardinal fans, Minnesota Viking fans, New Orleans Saints fans, Carolina Panther fans, and current Denver Bronco fans, make sure you stay tuned. We got a much anticipated conversation with Teddy B. And Pat B, I think this is the first time anyone has heard Teddy Bridgewater talk since getting traded to Denver. So he has a lot to say.
I believe so.
And make sure you stay tuned. But now it's time to jump into 7 questions. We had to rebrand 21 questions to 7 questions, because now Pat P is going back to his high school days, going back to his LSU days, and he's rocking the number 7. So now it's called 7 questions. 7 questions is where we get a chance to interact with you, the listeners, and the viewers. If you want your question to be answered in the future,
leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get to it on the show. We have a question coming from Jerk919. Shout out to Jerk. Thank you for your question, Jerk919. The question is for both of us. What athletes did you look up to in the locker room, and what advice did they give you when times were tough?
I always looked up to the quarterbacks, you know, and seeing, because, you know, like, you know, Teddy spoke about, you know, you're pretty much like the CEO of the team. You know, it's a lot of, not pressure, but it's a lot of responsibilities. So, and we all know quarterbacks, you know, they may have a bad game, or, you know, they may have a bad series. It's all about how you bounce back from and how you handle, you know, certain situations. And, you know, the one I used to always watch was Carson Palmer. You know, I got talked about in my player tribune. Like, he was like one of my favorite teammates of all time. And he was just such a cool guy, you know, treated everybody the same way. But at the same time, whenever he did have a bad game or not the game that he wanted, you know, he knew what he had to do to go back to the drawing boards and to fix it, you know, versus being like some young guys or other players that are kind of like get in that hole, you know, kind of balled up and run from the fire. You know, quarterbacks always have, especially the good ones, they always have to stand up to the fire. And being a corner, you know, we almost have the same responsibility now with this league being such a passing league and, you know, pass heavy and being on the island all the time, the rules stacked against us, you know, so many things can go throughout just in one play. How are you able to react or bounce back from the negatives? And like I said, that's why I always like to watch the quarterbacks, you know, seeing how they moving around, seeing how they preparing, seeing how they treat people and how they move around. So, you know, quarterbacks for me are the guys that I always looked up to in the locker room.
Yeah, good one. That's a good one. Carson Palmer definitely had some real good times out in AZ when he was there rocking with you guys, a stand-up guy, the ultimate professional. For me, I would say...
Yeah, some good ones. You got some legends.
I'll say Troy Polamalu. Yeah. The reason why I looked up to Troy, because he was the ultimate professional, well, superstar player, but you didn't know he was a superstar. Always where he needed to be. He did things the right way. You know what I mean? And he was a guy who led by example, not by voice. Some of the best advice he gave me was to always exercise and display humility. Always respect the craft, respect what it means to be a professional, regardless if you're a starter, regardless if you're on the practice squad. Never take for granted someone's role. Never take for granted your role. And the thing about Troy, he treated everybody the same. You could be someone who worked in the cafeteria. You can be someone who was part of the security team in the facility. He treated everybody with the utmost respect. And because of that, he was so well liked. Right. So just how he went about his business. And if you spoke to Troy, you never would have known he was the future Hall of Famer that he's getting ready to become this offseason, this August. But he was so, you know, cool, calm. I remember one time he was Troy used to be weird sometimes. So Troy had all the fame, all the glory, the earthly, the glory that we would want from players, you know what I mean? All the money. So Troy had like a Scooby-Doo truck, like the Scooby-Doo truck, right? So we used to joke with Troy all the time, like, man, Troy, stop doing that, man. You tripping, man. Spend something, right? So I remember I think I didn't drive or something like that to the facility, or something was wrong. I didn't have my wheels or something like that. So Troy was like, Troy said, B-Mac, he's like, hey, B-Mac, you can borrow the truck if you want to. I said, what? He said, yes, here are the keys. You can borrow it. You can drive it. I said, Troy, I'm not driving that Scooby-Doo truck, Troy. I appreciate it. I ain't driving around Pittsburgh in that Scooby-Doo truck. He said, huh? What do you mean? I said, I'm not driving that truck, Troy. I said, I'm gonna wait. I'm not riding that truck.
What do you mean?
Yeah, you know, Troy doesn't start sounding like little Mike Jack, little Mike Jackson.
Stop his ass.
We used to call him Baby Jesus. So soft spoken. What do you mean? Like, he comes to the sideline. Like, we probably have like 2 series, right, that we didn't participate in. He'd be like, hey, Ike, what did you get in this formation? Okay. Like, this is the Florida game. We're on the sideline. So, you know, people cussing, people talking loud.
Right.
He acting like he in the library. He'd be like, hey, B-Mac, what did you get in this formation? I'm like, I think I got a dig route. He'd be like, okay, thank you. we're like, what this man doing? What baby Jesus doing? Because every sideline, he ain't doing nothing but praying all day. He praying. Yeah. Hey, the next series, they come out in the same formation.
He go get him a pick.
He go get it.
Oh, no doubt about it.
All you see is hair. That's all you see is hair.
Either diving for it or jumping over the dog off as a lineman to make a sack on the quarterback.
He'd be like, boy, baby Jesus gonna strike again, boy. We want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Each week, we give clues for our next guest, and the first person to guess correctly gets a follow and a shout out on the pod. So we have to shout out Andrew Brady Johnson and Jack White 3479, who guessed Fred Taylor within seconds of each other last week. So because of that, we decided to give both of them a shout out, Andrew Brady Johnson and Jack White 3479. Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very, very best content from the show. Now, it's halftime for us. But on the other side of the break, we'll be joined by Denver Broncos quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. Stay tuned.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Yo, we back from halftime. You guys know how we roll. Coming out of the locker room, we like to make some big-time adjustments. And for us, we know defense wins championships, but offense definitely brings style points because they put points on the scoreboard. So we had to make an addition to our offense. We had to go out and get a top-level quarterback. We told you guys in the beginning of the show, we had a high-character guy, top-level quarterback, join us on the show, All Things Covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, and he's here. Miami Northwestern, throw your bulls up. I think that's how they do it, Pat. I don't know. You got to throw your bulls up. Miami Northwestern alum, Louisville alum, Denver Broncos quarterback Teddy Bridgewater joining us here on the show, All Things Covered. Teddy B., thank you for joining us. How you doing?
Man, I'm good, man. Thank you guys for having me. Just sitting back kicking in South Florida right now, man.
Yes, sir.
No question. We see you. We see you. So you talk about South Florida, you know, before you became a Cardinal, before you became a Viking, a Saint, a Panther, and now in Bronco, you know, you started off down in Miami. You know what I mean? And you once tweeted out, Teddy B., the first degree I got was from the streets. I majored in surviving Liberty City and Opa-locka. What did it take to earn a degree, as you call it, from the streets of Liberty City and Opa-locka?
I think, man, what it took was just making all the right decisions. Where I grew up at, you know, there's so much going on that you can easily get into. And I've seen so many guys, man, who had more talent than me, or guys before me who, you know, fell victim to, you know, the circumstances. And it just all fell back on your decision-making. It's so easy to make the wrong decision, you know what I mean? Especially when all your peers and the ones around you are doing all the wrong things, you know, that's the easy route. And it is the hard thing to do is go the opposite way, because you're going to be looked at funny. Oh, man, you tripping this, and that. And, you know, you just got to look in the mirror and tell yourself what you want to be in life, ask yourself what you want to be in life, and try to go places.
Right. Yeah. We all, like you talked about, you down there, hanging down there in South Florida. We all 3 of us on this show is from that area. And I had the opportunity to be in the high school football world in 2007. And the Atlantic recently called the 2007 Northwestern team the best high school ever. First of all, I didn't even know you were the receiver, first of all. And a backup quarterback to my boy, Janoris Harris. I'm sorry, Jacory Harris. Yeah. How special was it, you know, being a young guy on that squad, you know, being with 26 players on that played on D1 rosters, 8 seniors signed with Miami, 7 players made it to the league. How special was that being on that all team right, as a young kid?
I'm a give you a secret. So I was a freshman, so I didn't play on that team. I was in the school I was with.
Okay.
And what happened? So this is a story that nobody really knows. So I was a freshman, and I ended up playing for Bunch Park League. I was still playing Little League because I wasn't going to stay at Northwestern. So I was going to transfer to Pace. Yeah, I was going to transfer to Pace because I was a baseball guy. So Kayvon Webster, I grew up, yeah. So me and Kayvon Webster, brother, best friend, his name Paul Webster. So Kayvon was at Pace, and Kayvon was like, man, just come to Pace, reunite with your Bunch Park guys. And so I was going to Pace, and as I got ready to go to Pace, Northwestern was like, nah, man, we want you to play quarterback. Jacory leaving, you know, you're going to come right in. So Jacory was still in the building that spring, but, you know, he was getting ready to go to school. I had a little time with him. But like you said, I started out at receiver, honestly, and I didn't even want to play quarterback until I realized that I get to touch the ball every play. So
yeah,
that's how that played out. But just, you know, being in the schoolhouse with those guys, man, you watch how those guys carry themselves. They were stars, man. They knew it.
Yeah.
You know, they carried themselves a certain way. And they also motivated me to want to follow their footsteps. You know, I was committed to Miami at one point, and I wanted to be like those guys. Those guys went to college early. They graduated high school early and went to college early. So I said, hey, those guys did it. Why can't I? So it was just good having, you know, that motivation in front of me.
Yo, Teddy B, for our listeners and viewers that are watching us on YouTube and listening to us on the podcast, they might not be as familiar with Miami Northwestern at 2017, but give them a few names that they may recognize. They can kind of, you know, turn that light switch on for them that was a part of that 2017, like Pat mentioned, that the Athletic, they're calling that 07 Miami Northwestern football team probably the best ever in the country.
Yeah. See, me, I'm going to start with my favorite player ever, Sean Spence.
Steelers.
Sean Spence. Yeah. And, you know, I knew Sean since Little League. He played at Bunch Park also. So he was number 5. He was always my favorite player growing up. You got a Super Bowl champion, Levante David, with Tampa Bay Bucks. Jacory Harris, who went on to UM. Brandon Washington, he played for the Philadelphia Eagles briefly.
What about that big old lineman you guys had? He was in the same.
Yeah, that,
I can't think of his name.
Big Marcus.
Yeah,
Big Marcus.
That's,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Marcus
Forston.
Oh, Forston.
Marcus
Forston. Yeah, that's Forston.
He ended up, I think he got drafted by the Patriots late. Tommy Schreeder was a wide receiver. He got drafted by Baltimore. Got a Super Bowl ring with them. I'm trying to think of who else. Kendall Tompkins, he went to Miami as well. He played in Canada. So it's a small list of the guys right there.
Yeah.
No question. And talking about your high school days, we need you to break down this superstructure right, performance that was caught on video some years ago that went viral, actually. You decided to return to your high school alma mater and the band. And of course, you know, you're from South Florida, you know, you in the southern states, you know, high school bands are important.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Miami Northwestern has always been known to have a pretty nice band. But let's break down that super strut that you decided to join the band. And is there a possibility, Teddy B, you know, this upcoming season, throw 3 or 4 touchdowns in the ball game after one of your touchdowns, you can give us a super strut as a celebration as well?
Hey, you know, each year I try to come up with something new. So I might just hit up Miss Young. She's a choreographer and instructor of the dances at Miami Northwestern and see what she got to go for this season. You know?
Make that happen.
Dude,
but tell me about that super strut. You went viral, man. You know, we don't really see you too much in the media when it comes to social media, but you went viral after that strut.
Nah, man, it was just one of those deals. You know, I was in New Orleans that year, had a lot of buzz, and you know, I was like paying attention. I always pay attention to what's going on in Miami.
Right.
You know, that's how I reset during the season. I, you know, check in with everyone back home on Mondays, and next thing you know, I turn the chapter. So that 1 week, man, I was just on Instagram, I think, and, you know, you hear Miss Young in the background. She's gassing the girls up. They breaking it down. And it's usually after halftime, like the band, you know, had their little performance on the track. So the girls are doing a walk, and one day I was just like, man, I'm going to come down and do that walk with y'all. So she's like, you serious? I was like, yeah. So got to the game. I think he had like a bye week or something. I was at the game. I'm like, man, I'm going to do it. And she didn't even know. I just jumped in line with the girls after halftime and just started doing it. The fans, everyone was just cheering, going crazy, man. It was funny.
Hey, nah, you crushed that. Hey, I got a question for you. This, I think this happened 2 years ago. What made you ride a bike 75 miles, I think it was?
Just one of those deals where I was cycling heavy in the off season. And I just wanted to stay active. It was actually last year.
Okay.
I think that's when everything, well, it might have been 2 years. I don't know, but
I saw it. I was like, man, that dude crazy, man, because the most I ever done was 35. 75, that's a haul.
You rode it from what, Miami to Palm Beach, right?
Yeah,
we rode the Palm. So, man, the thing about that, man, so we were like, we're going to ride up. No, actually, we were going to catch the train up to Palm Beach.
Mm.
So we're going to catch the train from Opa-locka to Palm Beach and ride back with the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever decided that we was going to ride at that time on the train didn't know the train schedule. So we had the train schedule wrong. So that's why we ended up riding up and catching the train back. But we ended up riding into the wind and everything, 75 miles. It was brutal.
How long did it take you guys?
I think it was like 7 hours.
Yeah. It might have been 5 or 7, one of those.
Okay. But,
and I think the thing was, man, we didn't really know what we was doing. You know, like, you just ride because, we skilled and stuff like that. But we didn't realize how you can ride in the pack to cut the wind and stuff like that. So
was that the longest you ever rode?
Yeah, that was the longest. But those guys, man. Yeah, those guys, man, it's a group, local group called Breaking the Cycle.
Okay.
And, man, those guys on the road to Orlando, they ride, man.
What?
Yeah, they don't.
That's 370 miles right there, Jack.
Man,
from where we from, getting Orlando is almost about 3 hours, about 2:45.
Yeah.
Riding on a bike, that doesn't even make sense.
Oh, man, no chance.
Yeah.
Why Louisville? We know you was a 4-star recruit, 6th quarterback in your class. You had offers from UM, Florida, and Tennessee. Why Louisville?
Man, when I was committed to Miami, I realized how rigged up the recruiting thing is, man.
Yeah.
From a ranking standpoint. Because when I was committed to Miami, man, they moved me to a 5-star. I'm like, okay, man, this is what I'm talking about. Then when I beat them up, they dropped me back down to a 4-star. So I'm like, all right, I see what it's all about. But Miami had fired Randy Shannon. And Randy grew up with my mom in Bunch Park, Opa-locka.
Okay.
They went to high school. They went to New Orleans. He went to school with my aunt. He used to talk about my aunt all the time. She was a bad athlete. And when they fired Randy, I was like, man, I wanted to see what direction they was going to go in. And I didn't really like the direction they went in. So I was like, man, I got to go somewhere that's, going to benefit me. And that's going to give me an opportunity to just change a culture, change a program. Because I knew, like, I had the ability to just affect people. And if I could be around the right people, that it would bring out my best quality, which is affecting people. And Louisville just gave me the opportunity to not only come up there and play early, but, shoot, we had, like, 12 guys in my recruiting class from South Florida. Then the next year they asked me, hey, who we need to get. So they really had me involved with everything that was going on. And then also, I needed some structure in my life as well. I grew up with just my mom, and I knew that Charlie Strong and Coach Hurt, Clint Hurt, he was at Miami, actually. He recruited me. So I knew that, man, those guys would give me some good structure and some good guidance, and ended up working out for them in the long run.
No doubt. It definitely paid off for you. And there's a trend of South Florida quarterbacks that go to Louisville that ultimately become the 32nd pick in the draft, right? Something that both you and Lamar Jackson, have in common. What is your response, knowing Lamar as a former Cardinal as well, and seeing what he's been able to do in the National Football League, but what is your response to some of the criticism that he gets for his playing style?
Man, at the end of the day, Lamar just got to be Lamar and continue to be Lamar. That's what got him to this point. I think what happens, man, we think that we gotta change, and we think that we gotta change and change who we are, and that's where we go wrong. I'm a testament of that, because look at my pro day. Shoot, I decided to go out there and throw without gloves and trying to prove to them, something that I didn't even have to. And, I go 32nd. Who knows if I would have went first or whatever, but just trying to prove people wrong, man, like it does something to you. It lights a fire, but at the same time, you got to be yourself in the process. And As long as Lamar keep being Lamar, he gonna be all right. You know, everything gonna fall in place for him.
Right. And speaking of that glove thing, that glove situation during your pro day, what was that all about? Because I never got the backstory about the pro day and the throwing with gloves. Because nowadays we see quarterbacks throw gloves all the time.
Yeah,
you know, I played with Big Ben. I played a year with Kurt Warner. They used to throw with gloves all the time. So what was that situation? What was that story behind that?
No, so what happened, man, when I was in high school, I didn't really wear the gloves. Only reason I wore gloves in high school because I would be going back and forth from receiver to quarterback. Didn't have time to change them. So when I came back home, I was training at IMG for my combine training. And, you know, it's hot in South Florida, so I'm back in South Florida. The ball feels good in my hand, and I'm ripping it without the gloves. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to just go to pro day. And I've been training without them down here in Bradenton, so I'm going to just go do the pro day without it. So I get to the pro day. For one, the football that I had wasn't broke in at all. And then
that's a no-no. Quarterback, take that.
Yeah.
Need them peaches, Daddy.
Man, come on, man. So yeah, the balls are slick, man. So, you know, I was like, dang, man, I ain't want to just put the gloves on halfway through the workout because then it'll been talked about as well. So I just went out there and just said, man, you know what? Hey, this is a decision I made. I gotta live with it. Whatever happens is going to happen. And, you know, I felt bad, you know, for some of the guys that were running routes and stuff because I had guys in that diving, making crazy catches at a pro day that you don't usually see. So,
right.
But, you know, like I said, it was a decision that I made. I stuck with it and, you know, I learned from it.
Right. And then, well, after going back to Lamar, first of all, Lamar's a winner, so they can criticize him all they want, man.
After getting
drafted to the Vikings, what was your first impressions of Minnesota, and do you have any advice for me?
Man, shit, it was cold, man. Hey, man, it was cold. Like, you gotta make sure you get you a nice North Face jacket or something, man. That cold hit different out there, but one thing I can say, man, like, the people out there, they super nice, man. They love the Vikings. They love their players on the Vikings. And, you know, my time there, I got injured, but, you know, I had some of my best years there just because I became a man there. And that city embraced me, embraced my family. Shoot, the restaurants are nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice city, man. We played the last season. That was my first time going back there since I had left. Well, since I was with the Vikings in 2018 or whatever. And just to see the change in that city and the culture, it looks unbelievable. So I say just have a nice jacket. And wherever you stay at, make sure you got a heated garage.
Oh, I do, man.
Man, I had, I learned my rookie year. I had a little house, man. And, you know, you got to wake up 5 o'clock now to start the car, to let it run for like 30 minutes so it can heat up. Then one time, man, I ended up running out of gas in the cold.
Oh.
And yeah, you got to keep a quarter tank of gas in your car always.
All right, cool. That's,
yeah.
Hey, Teddy B, where was your confidence at after year two? You guys won the division and you made the Pro Bowl.
Man, it was an all-time high. You know, going into that offseason, man, I had my guys. We were down in Orlando with Tom Shaw like 2 weeks, just getting out there, winning the training camp, and we were rolling. And then, you know, everything happened how it happened.
Yeah. And speaking of that, you know, how everything happened, August the 30th, 2016. What will that date forever mean to you?
Honestly, I forget what day it was all the time, man. Yeah. You know, I'm only reminded when, you know, it's brought up. Because to me, man, it's just another day, you know, that I was above earth. And I had an opportunity to learn a lesson that day. Mm-hmm. And I learned how tough I am, you know. So each day, man, I try to find little lessons to learn and little nuggets to take away. So, you know, August 30th, 2016.
August 30th, 2016.
Yeah. You know, it was, I'll say it was the start of me finding my purpose.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is, you know, we play this game and sometimes we get lost in this lifestyle. We get lost in the game.
Right.
And me being away from the game really helped open my eyes and made me realize that, man, you know, no matter if I'm in uniform or not, you know, I get the same 24 hours as the man mopping floors for a living, you know, as the person bagging groceries for a living. So it gave me a different view on life. Like, man, no matter what's going on, I got 24 hours. I got to maximize it and you know, that's how I approach every day now.
Right.
Did you think your career was over? Like when it happened and then the after effect, knowing exactly what happened, did you think it was like a wrap for me or what was going through your mind?
Yeah, I thought it was over. I was down.
Really?
Yeah, man. I like when I went down, I think the first thing I said was go get my phone. But I said that because I needed to just text my mom and tell her to get to praying because she's one of my prayer warriors. And I tell everybody, I feel like God answered all her prayers. So,
yeah, man.
You know, I told her to get to praying for me. And, you know, I was down there, man, just looking at my leg. I was yelling. You see the guys throwing helmets and, you know, just screaming and all type of stuff, Coach Sonny, everybody in. And I really thought it was over when I was in the back of the ambulance headed to the hospital. And I was in the back with the trainer. You know, he was asking me questions. He was like, man, can you feel your foot? How's it feeling? I was like, I can feel my foot, but the feeling's starting to go away. Mm. And he screamed at the driver. He was like, man, speed this fucking car up and all of this and that. And that right there showed me, you know, how serious it might have been. Like, man, and then I didn't realize until I woke up after they put it back in place that, you know, I could have suffered from nerve damage and a possibility of drop foot and had to eventually get my leg amputated or whatever.
Whoa. Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that was a possibility.
Yeah.
What was the routine like for you to get back?
Man, so it was a two-part series, man. Because after the surgery up until, so I got the surgery in September. Mm-hmm. And all the way to like November, man, it was a struggle because I couldn't bend my knee. And I didn't know what was going on. And, you know, the tough part about it was that, you know, I'm doing the therapy with the team. And, okay, we started out like 5-0 that year, something like that. So, you know, therapy is going well. And we ended up losing like 5 in a row. And you know how that is. Like, guys get injured, you're losing, so pressure's on the training room. And I come in the training room and, man, the trainer would just be cranking on my knee, cranking. And I'm like, yo, I can't bend my knee. Mm-hmm. Like, you doing all this cranking. He's like, come on, man, you can push. And I'm like, nah, yo, I can't. Mm-hmm. And we had to, and I ended up going to get another MRI and I had some bone calcification on the inside, which was preventing me from bending my knee past like 50 degrees or 60 degrees. So that was the struggle. Then like in November around my birthday or whatever, I went down to Dallas, saw Dr. Cooper, and we cleaned it up. And from there it was smooth sailing, man. It was just more so getting to that end range and trying to hold those and strengthen those positions. And, you know, it's been a smooth process.
So like, and when you see particular gruesome injuries, like, you know, Dak Prescott and Alex Smith, do you grow any interest in those, in their comebacks?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, just being a person who, you know, had a comeback himself, is inspiring to me as well. You know, even though I have my story, you know, just to follow those guys' journey, because, you know, we all relate in some way. And, you know, yeah, we talk about the comeback, but, you know, just guys getting injured in general. But since we're on the topic of just guys having a comeback, yeah, you know, you definitely become a bigger fan of those guys because you know what it took, you know.
Yeah.
You know somewhat of what it took for that person to get back. You know about those dark days, those struggles, those days where you want to just throw in a towel. Like, you know what it's like, so you become a huge fan when they eventually come back from that.
Right.
Yeah. And after a lengthy comeback process, you know, a quick stint with the Jets, you get traded to the New Orleans Saints, home of the beignets. You know, what was the biggest thing you learned from Sean Payton and Drew Brees during your time there in New Orleans?
And when my 2 years there, it taught me the real meaning of valuing, you know, your process and honing in on your process. Man, I tell everybody, I watched Drew Brees be the same guy for 2 years straight. I'm talking about eat breakfast at a certain time, chew his bacon a certain way, bite his sunflower seeds a certain way in the meeting room, take a pee break at a certain time. Like, man, this guy, he was like so routine. And that just, it meant a lot to me because I was still a young guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I only played 2 years for real. And, you know, I was always just like, man, I'm from South Florida. I just got damn ball, do whatever. And just watching those guys, you know, how they operate, it really gave me a different insight and a different view. And like, I was able to just, you know, take little bits and pieces from what Drew did and apply it to, you know, my career. And it's been working for me.
So did Drew used to pop? So did Drew used to pop into the defensive back meeting room like you did too?
Nah. I think, man, that's just something with me, man. I always just like cope well with defensive backs. Like when I was in Minnesota, I had Terrence Newman, and I just go to T. New. And, you know, those guys see the game like quarterbacks sometimes. Right. So, and, you know, you guys, you study the quarterback. So
right.
Mm-hmm. I talk to T. New all the time. Hey, T. New, what you saw right here? If I'm throwing quick game, hey, T. New, what you saw? He'd be like, hey, man, I just saw fast drop, man. Ball was coming out quick or something. I'd be like, T. New, what can give me a hint right here that is certain coverage? He, like, just learning what man coverage truly was, you know, Terrence Newman explained it to me. Like, man, you'll know if it's man coverage when you break the huddle. When the DB get to the line, if he pressed and his eyes is on the receiver, he got him in man. You know, now if he's pressing his eyes on you, he might be two man. You know, it's just little nuggets that you take and run with. So when I was in New Orleans, I just pop in with those guys. Von Bell was my guy when he was there. Mm-hmm. Marshawn and Doug Williams, man, Marcus Williams. Like those guys. For one, they were younger than me, so I knew that I could just give those guys some insight on what quarterbacks are thinking. And then, you know, I just tell them, too. I challenge them when we go to practice. Like, hey, man, I'm going to throw a bomb over y'all. Like, I had another South Florida guy, Tommy Lee, when we were out there. We used to call it Go Deep, ENT. Cause all we
Tommy Lee had them wheels, right?
Yeah.
He can go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I took a lot of pride in just, you know, trying to help those defensive backs. Cause at the end of the day, man, if they on the same page, then, man, defense rolling.
Hey, Teddy, I got a two-part question for you. You know, looking at the road back for you getting healthy, everything you went through in your early part of your career, then get an opportunity to be a full-time starter in Carolina, pairing back up with Joe Brady, who was there with you, who knew about you in New Orleans, of course. What did that mean to you? And the second part of the question, do you think you had a fair opportunity there in Carolina?
You know, it was great, man, getting back with Joe. I watched Joe draw cards and get cussed at by Drew Brees if the defense wasn't giving the right look. So just to see him, man, you know, the growth and the journey that he's been on within 2 to 3 years, man, it's amazing. It was great just reuniting with him. He's another South Florida boy, man. So,
yep.
You know, it was great to see one of us, you know, from South Florida, you know, in a position of power like that. And then, man, with the whole deal in Carolina, it is what it is for me, man. I told him, you know, once the season ended that I wear big boy draws, man. And, yeah. And I understand the nature of this business and it's a performance-based business. And, you know, yeah, I could sit up here and say, okay, Christian got hurt or we didn't have this, didn't have that, but that's not me, you know.
Right.
I look in that mirror and I say, hey, you got to tighten up, you know. Right. So it's, you know, little things, you know, that I could have done better. And, you know, as an organization, it's things that, you know, you can do better as well. But I think, man, I'll just say this for Joe Brady's growth. I think, man, like that organization, they'll have to like just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2 minute really. We didn't practice red zone, you know, what? So.
It was the most important.
What? What?
That's what
you used to have a whole day devoted for 2 minutes in red zone. That's Thursday like, practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I guess the game is becoming about science, you know, and trying to keep guys healthy. So, you didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walk through like the red zone stuff. And then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps and guys reps all the way limited. Yeah. So I mean, you know, that's the unknown, but you know, I'm a pro, man. I could sit up here and throw all of that out there, but at the end of the day, that won't get me nowhere, man. So I'm appreciative that I had the opportunity. You know, I just keep it moving. I'm in Denver now. I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
Hey Teddy, you the ultimate professional. I applaud that. You the ultimate professional, but me, I'm a fan and I'm in the media. So you didn't get treated fairly in Carolina. I'm gonna say what you don't want to say or what you probably can't say because I'm watching the game. I'm gonna keep it real with you. So let me break this down for you, Teddy B, as you already know. Let me break it down for the people listening to us and the people that's watching us on YouTube. Teddy B, Carolina Panther, overall record was 4-11. Granted, like he said, wasn't ideal. But one of the best offensive weapons in the National Football League in CMC. Christian McCaffrey only participated in 3 ball games. Teddy B numbers. I had to do the research. When I had Teddy B, I knew Teddy B was coming on. I'm like, I wanted to talk about this Carolina thing, but I know I can't really talk to him. He can't talk to me, so I'm going to talk to him. Teddy B, your numbers last year. Pat P, listen to these numbers. Teddy B numbers last year was 3,735 yards, 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, completed 69% of his passes. Now, the guy they replaced Teddy Bridgewater with and Sam Darnold, no knock on Sam. He's a great guy, I believe, but I'm just based on talking about numbers. He was 2-10 in 12 starts. His completion percentage was 59%. He threw for 2,208 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. So in 12 starts, he had below average numbers. And this is the guy they replaced you with. I'm not going to ask you, was it right? Was it not right? I understand, but I can tell you what I think. No, that's what BS.
Yeah.
How you get replaced from a guy who was bad. And it's safe to say, I'm going to say what you can't say, Teddy B. It's safe to say, Pat P, if Christian McCaffrey was in uniform for more than 3 ball games,
no doubt about it.
Everything would look better.
Yeah, because that opened
the
up.
Offense would have been flowing.
Play action, screen game.
Play action. Man, you ain't got CMC in the back. We're not concerned about no run game.
Right.
You know what I mean? We ain't concerned about no run game.
Yeah, I think the 3 games he played in, like, we was averaging 30 a game, too. So, you know, but, man, I look at it like this, man. Like, so my whole life, man, like, I moved a lot growing up. So I moved from neighborhood to neighborhood. And I think the way I was brought up has prepared me for, you know, everything that I'm going through right now, man. Like,
no question. That knee injury.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like preparing me for, you know, each stop, you know, I'm there to leave my mark. And for me in Carolina, I feel like I left my mark the way, you know, I feel like I left my mark in a certain way. Like, the way I looked at it, man, I told Curtis Samuel, like, man, look, I want to get you paid. He got paid. He had a career.
He got paid.
You know, Robbie Anderson had his first 1,000-yard season in his career. DJ Moore had the most yards in his career. Mike Davis, you know, over 1,000 yards from line of scrimmage. So, you know, the way I look at it, like, man, it's a win for me. Like, yeah, okay, you know, they traded me, whatever. But, man, I left a mark with those guys that I wanted to. So, you know, now that I'm in Denver, man, I'm excited for what's in store for me.
And don't forget, Teddy B, I'm going to say what you don't want to say. You still get the same amount of money you were supposed to get in Carolina because they eating most of that salary. And Denver going to pick it up on the back end. Yeah. And now you get another opportunity. If you do what you're supposed to do,
right,
jump right back at the table, get you a plate, get you a little spoon.
Yeah, that's what I was about to tell you. Obviously, with you, you know, defeating so many odds in your career, like, what are some of your current goals you have set, like, at this point for your career? Because obviously you're going to be a free agent next year again. You're going to be a free agent next year, March.
Yeah. I haven't sat down yet and just, you know, wrote down, you know, my goals for this year. You know, I'll probably do that right before training camp.
Okay.
But like I said, man, just looking back at last year, I feel like I accomplished a lot of what I wanted to do, you know, as an individual. You know, the ultimate goal as a team when you play a team sport is to win. So, of course, you know, I want to win. I'm used to winning. But, you know, from an individual standpoint, like, I talked to Robbie the other night at his birthday dinner, and I just told him, like, hey, you know, we got to 1,000 now, you know, I'm not there, but you can still do it. And, you know, you can be right back to the table. So, you know, I really get a thrill from seeing others around me succeed because, man.
Good man.
If they succeed, then I mean, I'm doing something right as well. So.
No question. And when you look at the current ball club you're a part of, you know, how are you handling the Broncos and the Aaron Rodgers rumors? You know what I mean? Hearing his name associated with the Broncos, potentially trying to be traded there. How are you handling that?
You know, honestly, man, I really don't be knowing what's going on in sports until somebody bring it to my attention. Like, I don't do Instagram. I don't do Twitter. You know, if I do, I got all personal pages, so I don't have to see any of that. But, you know, it's one of those deals where, like I said, man, I'm in Denver right now. I'm excited for this opportunity that I got. You know, whatever happens, going to happen. you know, all I can control is showing up to work every day and being a pro. For a person like myself, I always tell people, man, I ain't even supposed to be in this position. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm going to make the best of wherever I'm at. So I'm in Denver right now.
You already won.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go. Like, you know, I'm motivated like never before.
Man, we should add, hey, Pat P, we got a has Pat heard in our show. We should add has Teddy heard.
Teddy say,
yeah, hey, Pat P the same way. Pat P don't be knowing nothing about what's going on in sports. If it ain't dealing with golf or them babies he got, we don't be knowing nothing.
Don't try to tell. Hey,
last question for you, Teddy, before we transition to the superlative part of our show. Quarterback competition between you and Drew Lock. Vic Fangio is high on you. What do you need to do to earn that starting job in Denver? And do you expect to earn that starting job?
Man, for me, it's just, I got to go in there and be Teddy. Just like I said, Lamar, I got to keep being Lamar. I just got to be Teddy. I think that's my biggest strength, just being Teddy. And being Teddy means, you know, showing up with the right mindset and being the guy that I am off the field. But when I get on the field, being Teddy also, just completing the football to my guys. That's my strength. I mean, Pat P got one on me last year, but
Pat, you did, yeah. You was a cover two.
Yeah,
right,
got, yeah, he rolled back to cover two, let invert.
Yeah,
he got that.
I think the only reason I got it though, because the pressure got to you, because you saw me the whole way, because you was looking at me the whole way.
He had to try to get that thing out of his hand.
Man, they ended up rolling the coverage and all that. But like I said, man, it's just throwing the ball to my guys, man, making the right decisions, playing in rhythm. Like, when I'm doing that, I'm at my best. I was able to complete 69% of my passes last year. I was trying to stay at 70, but
you were there.
You know, yeah, that's my strength, just completing the ball to my guys. And when I get there and I can do that, man, and just continue to help the quarterback room at the same time. Like, yeah, it's a competition, but at the same time, you know, Drew's a young guy who's got a lot of football, you know, in him. So rather, you know, I'm just in motivating him, teaching him while we're competing, you know, is all going to help the room. So I'm excited this opportunity that I just get to, you know, go make an impact somewhere else. And this time it's Denver.
You got some nice guys to catch your passes, though. You got Noah Fant. You got Jerry Jeudy, the cockroach killer. He run that out route. It's like he's stepping on the cockroach. You got Hamler. Is Sutton still out there? Cortland Sutton?
Yeah.
Big Sutton. Big Sutton go when he healthy as well.
Big Red.
You got some guns. You got some guns out there.
Yeah. So, you know, you said the most important thing, though, man. You got a tight end.
Noah Fant.
Yeah, man.
He can go.
A lot of people don't realize how valuable those tight ends are.
I tell people,
man, receivers get you to the red zone, but tight ends score in the red zone.
Right.
No question. That's how you really can, you know, you can tell you talking football with someone when they mention tight ends.
Yeah.
For us.
No, dude.
And Pat P, you probably feel the same way I feel. I don't want to play against an athlete tight end.
No,
that's a matchup nightmare for us.
Man, no doubt. Right.
You can't put a corner on it. You can't put a back on it. You can't put a safety on it. Man, that's a matchup nightmare. But you got you one in Denver, so we can't wait to see how it all shakes out for you. Let's transition to the superlative part of the show. So what we're going to do is, Teddy B, we're going to hit you with rapid-fire questions. I want your honest, unbiased answer. So we're going to send some pressure at you and see how you handle this pressure. You know what I mean? We're going to invert the curvatures a little bit. First question for you. I heard you're a big-time Miami Heat fan. It only makes sense. You're from Dade County. Give me your Miami Heat Mount Rushmore.
All right. I'm going Zoe, D-Wade. All right. Hey, I ain't really a history major. How many people on Mount Rushmore?
Four.
All right. We got four. All right.
You got two. You gave me two.
Zoe, D-Wade, LeBron.
Okay. That's three.
And I'm going to go Tim Hardaway.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going Tim Hardaway. Yeah, I want to put Shaq, but I'm going to go Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, Tim. Yeah. That's a good one for Tim. Your favorite college football memory, you beat University of Florida and University of Miami in your final two bowl games.
My favorite moment from the games or which one?
Not just your favorite moments in general because you beat your home state team.
You know, it's crazy as it sounds, man. My favorite moment was the Gators game when I got smacked by Bostic.
Oh, yeah.
On the sideline.
Yeah, my helmet rolled like 15 yards. I say that because, man, I tell people all the time, I say, man, I got up and, you know, when you're talking to your dogs and all that, you're like, man, he tried me, you know what I'm saying? So so that was my mindset when I got up, like, oh, he really just tried me on national TV. Like, my family back home watching this, so I can't lay down. So that was one of my favorite moments.
Okay, all right. We're going to hit you with a little nickel blitz. Start, sit, cut.
All right.
Adrian Peterson, Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey. Start, sit, cut.
All right. I'm starting AD. I got to start AD.
Okay.
Okay, AP.
Somebody's going to sit. Yeah, I'm going to sit AK.
Okay.
I'm gonna sit AK, and I got to cut Christian.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That was tough.
That's tough.
That was tough. I mean, I really want to start AK because AD, man, that boy hands like
pants, huh?
hey, coach said one time, man, you got hands like snakes. Like, man, Coach Snake don't have any hands. He said, exactly.
Exactly. Man, the ball
he ain't catching no flat route.
No flat route, no screen, no swing, none of that.
but he gonna run that duo and that lead draw.
Oh yeah, and that 22 double. That's his go to right there.
That's it. So he gonna help the play action game.
No doubt about
all
it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, AP, Kamara, and you cutting CMC. All right, we got you.
Yeah.
Last one before we let you go. Best restaurant you spent your birthday at. We heard that you spent you celebrated at Olive Garden for your 28th birthday.
But what was the Olive Garden?
What is the best restaurant
I did. For your
birthday at?
Oh man, I don't even remember the restaurants that I've been to. I'm going to Olive Garden though.
Yeah.
What you get when you go to Olive Garden?
I just go for the bread and salad.
That salad hit nice, don't it?
Hey, that's how I used to be in middle school at Red Lobster, man. That bread and water.
Right. That cheese bread at Red Lobster. Yes, sir. Bread, yeah. Yes, sir. Bread.
Don't need no butter, man. Bread and water, man.
Hey, Teddy B, I like that. Because, you know, so a lot of times when boys get that bread in their pocket, they kind of forget about how they used to eat. You know, if you don't go, like the boys don't go back to Applebee's anymore, Ruby Tuesdays.
Oh, man.
Logan, you know what I mean?
Man, listen, I drive me a minivan right now, man. So I'm pocketing all my little coins.
Man, I love it, man.
Smart man. Yes. Hey, smart man. Definitely. And don't forget, in 2022, you're going to be right back at the table all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. All over again. We go ahead and let that thing manifest a little bit. Speak that into the universe.
Yep.
No doubt. Hey, but Teddy B, man, we appreciate you joining us here. Things covered, man. You high character individual. We are rooting for you. Best of luck this upcoming season with the Denver Broncos. And go ahead and, twist that knife in the Carolina Panthers a little bit when you go out and ball out this year. Hey, Teddy B, you don't have to say too much. I'll be saying it for you on here. I'll be talking for you.
Yes, sir.
Be safe, man.
I appreciate you guys.
Thanks again to Teddy Bridgewater. And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure to follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back with you soon where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.